You know how when they yell cut, they wouldn't stop.
That's interesting.
What?
Yes.
If you were Donna, what would you have said?
A waitress, rather, call the police. And she was mistaken for 90210 for cops.
Along with your host, Charles Rosen.
But look at that Dean cake. And Dan probably got the best performance he ever gave.
We're having a meeting here.
Oh, at least there's one person on this ricotta set that knows what they're doing.
Larry Mullen.
I had a friend named Craig Richland. There was still cocaine around and stuff. I always remembered him. I just kind of thought I would honor my coke dealer.
Get out of here.
Pete Ferrero.
Here's what I learned. It's possible Claire would have gone out with me.
That was your take, right?
So sit back and relax, because it's like totally time for the Beverly Hills 90210 show.
Just hold on to me tonight.
Well, here we are again on the Beverly Hills 90210 show. We are covering The Long Goodbye from season 7. I am joined here by Larry Mullen. How are you? What's going on in the marina today?
Beautiful. Wind is a little picked up, but spring is here. I mean, it was a beautiful morning. I was out in Santa Monica doing a little bit of workout with our trainer. And having some fun, enjoying spring. You can just sense it's really here, and it's nice.
It's so nice. It's so nice.
I'll be leaving in two weeks. I'll be going to the East Coast, where it'll be kind of cold and dreary.
I know. I don't know. You choose this very odd time of year to go.
Well, if we don't go back there to our place there, we never get anything done, because we haven't been there in 6 months, and shit happens.
Also joining us here is from Reddit, Brian Navarro, no relation to the fan that joins us, Barbara Navarro, everyone.
Barbara, yeah.
But how are you, man? What's going on Reddit? Any big drama this week? Hopefully something.
No. The biggest post was, Larry was talking about this earlier, the one where somebody was saying they wish Steve had been the father to Andre's baby. So that was like a fun little post that got a lot of attention.
Nice. What do you think about that, Larry?
Well, I think, as we mentioned, I read somewhere, there was some content somewhere. I can't remember who pointed this out, but Andrea never slept with any of the guys in the show. She was the only girl who didn't.
That's
so
right.
So that was that. And so this would presuppose that Steve slept with Andrea, of course. But
Andrea slept with everyone outside, like Dan Rubin and Jesse Vasquez and this other kid.
Dr. Peter.
What was the other kid's name? I don't know if she slept with him, the kid from high school. She didn't sleep with him.
Oh, Jay, right? Yeah. I don't think so.
Oh, Jay. Well, we don't know if she slept with Jay. I don't think so, right?
I don't think so. I don't think. No.
Well,
What about that teacher?
Gil Myers.
That was pretty saucy at the time.
It was hot and heavy. Larry, did you do your car? You have to put the battery back in your car.
When I get to,
I always love when you tell us about
that. I'll go to the back of my property and put the hood up and look for that negative cable and put it on there and crank it up, and then hopefully it'll just purr like kitten. But I actually have two cars there now, because my son's got one there, so I have to do that twice. But AAA plus is always good to have if you travel at all.
This is the same car. We've been doing this podcast for a few years now.
Oh, no. One car is a 1998 and one car is a 2001. They both have, many miles on them, but they're island cars, what we call island cars.
I love it.
They're not going to leave the island.
Hey, I want to plug real quick before we get into the episode and our ad and all that stuff. Tori has a new podcast. Have you seen this, Larry?
Yes, I saw it. Misspelling.
Misspelling.
It's kind of cool. I don't know if that, was kind of like a haunting in a certain way. It's like kind of like making an error.
I think there is.
I think it's kind of a cool thing. And she had a very provocative photo for the artwork. And we wish her the best,
I'm so excited for her. It's really personal. And I think it is honest and authentic. And I think it is about how maybe she's misunderstood, which is how that word, probably it's called misspelling.
Here's a clip.
This is a clip. I'm going to play a clip. I'm going to play a clip for Tori. Why not?
I think you thrive on it. You thrive on the chaos.
I thrive on chaos. Everyone would say that's not a good thing. No. Yeah. Gives me energy. It gives me, makes me feel like not dead inside. My lawyer says I just got a call from TMZ. I didn't speak to them, but they have the divorce file. Here goes the neighborhood.
I've never felt more alone in 50 years. Sorry.
You are not alone.
Really nice stuff. I'm really...
Well, I think Shannon led the way with her, you know, very, you know, personal, you know, her
memoir podcast. Yeah.
And, which has been great. And maybe it gave everyone permission, you know, kind of this is a way to go and kind of cut out the middleman, just go directly to your fans and let them know how you're feeling.
Because exactly. Care. I think it's really
fans
awesome.
Really care and they care about the Tory. And yeah, I'm all for it, you know.
I love it. I mean, I think it's really an inventive style. I'd love to sit next to her on the bed and hang out and ask some 90210 questions. You know what I mean? She's sitting on that bed there having a nice time.
You know, it's very when she said the thing about a character who thrived on chaos, I remember when we pitched the Claire character, we used that exact expression.
Oh, that's amazing. Oh, that's interesting.
And I kind of knew a girl who was like that. You know, she was a Scorpio. You just were going to get into trouble with this girl. She was just...
Yeah, very interesting. Yeah. All right, I'm going to play an ad. We'll come back and then we'll jump into the long goodbye.
Hey, Beverly Hills 90210 fans. Check out all the latest rad stuff from the Beverly Hills 90210 show shop. They have everything you could possibly imagine. So, like, go there now, okay?
Jessica says, Pete, Larry, Brian, love this team of co-hosts. Barbara says, I appreciate the shout out. Barbara Navarro here. That's about it. Oh, Chrissy Lee says, I found this podcast in the last couple of months, but I have been binging all episodes. Is it possible to contact someone to share how 90210 and someone on it? I don't know what you're asking, but if you contact me, sure.
Well, you know, that reminds me, we really should somewhere do, not now, but maybe, you know, as a Thanksgiving show, do another America's zip code or some big fan.
We are due for a big show.
We should, because we'll, you know, those people who were in Planet 90210 and America's zip code, they've stayed loyal to us.
Yes.
And they're part of people we really enjoy having part of this community. And they've built communities of friends with that. And look at Brian's here because of that, basically.
Totally. I'm so happy that Brian is a part of this
podcast. We need to do that before we get old.
We need to do another big mania show, you know, a big.
Well, I think we probably need to do one of both, either, you know, the domestic show and then the national
international show. Yeah, maybe do it a weekend event.
We should say that we did a special show to Israel. We had
I'm trying to get the file, Larry. I'm trying to get
as part of.
Just I'm trying to get the file so that we can air that, but that's harder to do than you'd think. Melissa says Tori has always been brave to just let it all out on her personal project. I hope it gets her through all the chaos. Definitely agree with you on that. Someone really likes the pinball machine. Okay. We're talking about, somebody says Denise Young on Instagram said, I sing Hopelessly Devoted to my daughter, which is going to be in this episode. The Long Goodbye. Now let's talk about The Long Goodbye. This is a big season 7 episode where we watched it, Larry, together on the Watch Along on Patreon. Were you surprised by how many things that there are in this episode?
I hadn't seen this episode in a long time. I think it's about 4 or 5 from the end. So we really are wrapping. You know, our storytelling is fine-tuned. We've earned all these moments. And we've set it against, you know, in reality, like how college winds down. There's a senior alpha keg talent show. And that's kind of a part of the fun part of the template, emotion bot. Passion, bonding, fun. And I loved the emotional reality in this episode because there's some really strong things here. I thought actually seeing it was one of the strongest ones of the season, though probably, you know, under neglected. It was a sweeps week episode, so it probably had lots of competition. It did okay in the rings, but didn't kill. And it's got, you know, lots of turns and twists, and you know, it's basically Brandon breaking up with Tracy because he thinks he's got a shot at Kelly, and Tracy kind of, you know, doing a Hail Mary and enlisting Valerie to help her, get her one more chance, and Valerie kind of pulling off of Valerie, giving Kelly hope that Dylan has come to the airport to visit.
There's some great stuff here.
Really, it's very revealing, and then it pays off the ring in the end. So that story is killer. There's a killer story with Felice Martin and the guy we bring back from when she was cheating on poor Dr. Martin. And this Dr. Martin, of course, is in a wheelchair, so it's even more despicable. And then there's this great loving story for our Claire, you know, which is heartfelt, that she's got to kind of perform this thing she never performed for her mother. And Steve believes she can't sing a lick because she showed that she can't sing a lick.
Yeah.
And she has to win everybody over. It's wonderful.
Well, let's look at all these different things that you just mentioned.
Before we do, we should just say this episode was directed by Les Sheldon, who I have very little memory of. He only did one that season. He was a Spelling production guy who Paul Wagner must have known, and he did a couple of episodes of this. He did a couple of episodes of all the Spelling shows. And it was
the only 90210 he did.
He did one other in the eighth season.
Oh, I see. Okay, so he has come back and done a couple of things. Yeah.
But not enough to really say that he was a big influence. But he does a very good job in this. Les, he's still around there above ground. Good job. And the episode says it's written by Kent Stringer, but I know Phil Savath and I kind of basically did it. This was all our story and in the end, my computer going through it to make it all kind of work, because we knew where we were going here. We were really starting to hit a stride. I was like playing for my life here. I did not know that I was going to be cut short and fired, basically, or let go. So I was really out there just trying to deliver, you know, real exploitable log lines and also earned moments that the fans would love.
I have to be honest with you, like, looking at this episode, I am shocked that you were not brought back, because it's one of the best episodes of the series.
And yeah, I was going to say that. It's one of my favorites of the series. I think it's a fantastic episode.
And I'll get into
Brian, more. Tell me more. Brian, tell me more. I'm sorry. We always overshadow Brian, but I want to hear this. Since I'm getting some flowers I never got. All I ever got for this was grief.
Yeah, it is one of my favorite episodes of the series. And, you know, when I was doing research for it, I actually found a post on Reddit from like 5 years ago where somebody asked, you know, what are your favorite episodes for each season? You know, what's your favorite for season 1, 2? And this was my favorite for season 7. So even 5 years ago, I said, yeah, this is my favorite season 7 episode.
It's always been my favorite because it's like you said, it's emotionally driven. It's there's earned moments with all of the different things that are happening in it.
We've been building up that ring. We've been building up Brandon dropping Tracy.
Yeah.
You know, and then we pull back it just had a lot, and it was kind of seamless. And
let's look at the first clip right off the bat. We're going to look at some clips, by the way. So if YouTube goes out, or just go to Instagram, go to Facebook. It's always happening. It happens every time. But right out the gate, just.
Relationship is back on track. Well, that did the trick.
Uh-oh.
Trace, I don't know how to start this exactly, but I have to.
What?
I don't think we should see each other anymore.
I mean, this has got to be what she's talking. Tracy must be talking about her therapist with every day, every week.
Not a quiet dump.
Because she thinks everything's going great. They make out. The kiss, Larry, you're big into the kiss.
I'll tell you, Brandon is torn, because he does. It's not that he doesn't like Tracy. He just believes that his future is with Kelly, and so he's like all guys. He's kind of sucked into the kiss, and it becomes real for him. But then he knows he has a job to do as the Boy Scout he is, and he has to come out and break it off.
I mean, but that is shocking. That's trauma. To kiss someone, thinking that
was right after the kiss, how Jill Novak as Tracy looks so sexy and good here. I mean, and she does such a good job for us, and She was a pleasure.
The look after the kiss, Brian.
That was awful. Yeah. Imagine seeing that after you kiss somebody. You're so into it, and then you get that face. That's traumatic.
It's a shocked, almost like he bit his mouth or something. Like something looks bitter. You know, he's just, Jason is not happy with kissing this poor girl. It's awful. Brandon. All right. Well, we got to talk to Jill. Tracy a little bit, who played Tracy a little bit earlier today. Here's the first of three things that she talked about. Okay. All right, so Larry and I are here with our favorite Tracy, Jill Novick. How are you? We are looking at this episode, and there is so much good Tracy stuff in this episode. This is the episode called The Long Goodbye. So what do you remember about it?
I remember, I think I was emotional because that's why I asked if it was my last show.
It was.
I think it was. And I knew as Jill, the actor, that it was my last show. And I remember feeling, you know, sad and wishing that they would keep me. I remember like thinking, well, they kept Kathleen. Like, why can't they keep Tracy's character, you know?
Right.
Like, even if I wasn't, because I knew that I was kind of hired as a way to keep Kelly and Brandon apart for another season, you know? And I just remember thinking, like, why can't they just keep me and either give me some other, you know, relationship or do something? Yeah.
You take Steve Sanders. Fine. You'll be fine.
Whatever. Steve Sanders.
Tracy would have taken it? No. So that's what I remember more than anything. And I remember that we were doing double ups, and I remember the wonderful, beautiful, I think I said this before, but the goodbye that the two different casts gave me and the cake. And I got this like, I can't remember, like not leather, but suede. I got a suede jacket with a patch inside, you know, that said,
Who gave this to you? This is
the crew.
I would say Paul Wagner, you know, would have created this for her.
Yeah.
He knew how to do things like that. But, you know, Paul was always very conscious of that. And he was, even though he was starting to fade out that year, he still, you know, did things like that a lot.
It was really, really nice. Like, those are my biggest memories are, you know, the last shot that I did. And then
What was the last shot? Do you remember?
No memory whatsoever. I'm old, you guys. I don't remember.
You are not old. You are so incredibly young. Please.
Yes. And you look so young still, too. All these, you know, this is a long time ago, this show, but you still look like Tracy. It's the thing that I'm most.
Hey, you look really, look hot in this episode, too.
That's true. Very. But do you remember using any of your feelings of like, this is the end for the breakup?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. You know, it becomes the personal stuff that's going on goes into the performance. So I do feel like, you know, the emotion came a lot easier because I was sad that it was.
We have more of that in a little bit. What did you think of that, Larry?
Oh, no, I, you know, I kind of know that. I mean, because she's been with the cast the whole, you know, for 32 episodes, or that would have been my 28 episodes or whatever. And
she doesn't even make it to 32.
You kind of bond the thing, and you kind of get the routine. It's, you kind of like it. You're just in your comfort zone, and all of a sudden, they say goodbye. But you know, as I explained, sometimes you've been cast to serve the show. You know, your storyline is you are holding off Brandon and Kelly. You know, that's, you know, intentional. That's where we're going to go at the end of the season. We knew that at the beginning of the season. So that was always in the mind. We're going toward graduation and David and Donna and Brandon and Kelly. That's what we had.
Let's see. So some people, Simon says the Brandon Tracy scenes in this episode were intense. Great stuff. I've always been a big Tracy fan. Jessica brings up the fact that she loves the Val Tracy scenes. Mm-hmm. Poor Tracy, Val feeds her false hope to stick it to Kelly. Well, I didn't see it that way.
I think it's either, great to see it that way.
It does feel like the wrong person, she's talking to the wrong person. Look, when Brandon breaks up with her, she goes to talk to Valerie. this feels like the wrong person to talk to.
But Valerie, but is successful. In other words, mm-hmm. that's the thing. This little gambit that Valerie does, which then she owns to Brandon, which is great, that she kind of sends the false telegram. Because that's also kind of funny. In the 90s, there were still telegrams, you know. So it was really not, email was not really a thing.
People, kids watching it today would say, what the fuck is a telegram?
There was no WWW. At the airport.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that. Let's look at a couple of these little clips, because this is, I mean, I have to tell you of some of the stuff that's happening in this episode. This is some of the best stuff. You are a genius, Larry, at bringing back a character without ever seeing the character. we know is a little bit of more information about someone who's not even employed with the show anymore. This is how we're playing this out.
Strawberry.
It's the wrong clip. Ah, okay. Shit, that's the wrong clip. It happens every week here.
Yeah. Well, it's basically, the clip is Kelly gets a telegram saying, you know, Dylan's going to be at the airport on a layover for about an hour and he wants to see her.
Yes.
And the dilemma for her is, okay, she got that. Now she's going to tell Brandon just when they've made plans to finally meet and perhaps reunite and recommit to each other.
Thing about it is, it's so well written. The letter you wrote, the letter Valerie. Well, it's Valerie that wrote the telegram. But I mean, you wrote the telegram as Valerie, as writing it as Dylan. I mean, this is real. This is really deep.
And it's believable. It's believable.
It's totally believable. That's what I'm saying. That the everything that mm-hmm. is said in the telegram is something Dylan may have said. Hey, stranger.
Yeah, I know. It's just, you know, we kind of could hook her that way. And Valerie's going to try to show Brandon that Kelly's not worth his love and Tracy is. And it almost works. It almost works.
Well, and look, then you guys got to cast a Dylan.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, really? I bought it when I was watching it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's just
fucking,
it's
Dylan.
Just sad, you know, sad moment. You think so, you have to, you know, this is how you could go to the airport. So you could wait for people to say, yeah, at the gate.
I know. I do miss that. I do miss that. They should bring that back.
See it coming, it's just so deflated. And she kind of has, you know, been made a fool of, really. And rightfully so. She does own it by the end of the episode.
Well, and the lookalike is nowhere near what Dylan looks like. So she's really disappointed because. But good stuff. I mean, you're always keeping the characters alive.
Always wanted to do that because it's in our mind that Dylan was kind of, you know, either living with Brenda or whatever in London at that point, or visiting her. Because this would have been after, you know, the death of Tony. You know, he kind of has been getting his head together. I think we do imply, Brian, am I right, that he kind of says at one point in season 6 or 7 that he's with, or season 7, that he's visiting Brenda?
Yeah, it's mentioned, like, throughout, like, little sprinkles, like, oh, Dylan and Brenda in London, like, somebody will mention them. Yeah,
I thought so. Yeah, no, look, as I've said many times, we were hoping these people would come back.
Yes.
You know, how important they were to the show. I mean, and, we were so competitive, you know, ratings-wise. We really wanted to beat everybody every freaking week. We were jocks.
Just Candace 1976 says on Instagram, I was so sad when it wasn't Luke. But I feel like, I mean, now that I've been doing this podcast so long, I feel like we would have gotten the classic Fox ad, Dylan's back.
Someone's coming back to 90210. No, we did not dare let them promote that. That was not part. You didn't have the promo. We should have bring the promo up on this.
I know. I was thinking about that. I forgot to pull that.
No, they didn't. We wouldn't let them dare do that because we wouldn't want to let people down like that. But within the context of that, it's good. It's a good twist, and it works. And Valerie, you know, shows Brandon that Kelly was duplicitous. I mean, or not totally, you know, honest with him. And so Kelly has to dig deep at the end. Hold on, Jessica, what's she saying?
Oh, honestly, the show is never the same after Larry left.
Oh, well, thank you.
That's not flattery. It's the truth.
Oh, well, there you go.
Renee B. Yeah, Larry was for sure needed for season 8. Oh, what it could have been?
It would have been.
How about this, Larry? How about this, Larry? Larry had the heart. Larry had the heart and soul of 90210. The heart and soul, Larry. Well, I don't know what the season 8 plus writers had, but it wasn't that. They didn't have the heart and soul.
They had paychecks. 32 of them, or they tried, they attempted to have 32 of them.
Well, but, not for nothing. The first,
they went out of their way.
The first writer that they bring on got removed. So that's how smart it was.
Because he inverted the show. As I've said, he inverted the template. You know, they weren't just, you know, ordinary kids living extraordinary lives. They were extraordinary kids living ordinary lives.
Caitlin Ryan, I cannot believe they let Larry go after season 7. Such a horrible decision. Don't you wish you had all these people back then? They could have did a fan letter.
Yeah, you know, there was, you know, I just kind of cut loose. You know, I kind of finished up, and as Chuck said, I was not escorted out of the building because they needed to close up the two-parter at the end of the season. But I kind of made them pay for some other stuff that I didn't get to do. I was supposed to do a pilot there, and I kind of made them pay for that because I didn't have time, and they kind of didn't like that. And you know, but ultimately, I learned a Hollywood lesson. You really need the big agency behind you. It's not that they get you work, but they don't stop you from getting work. Because when I went out, I had nobody to protect me, and just the big agencies did what they could to block, to not to help me.
One of the other things that's going on here, we talked about...
Everything's good. I'm very, very grateful here. Sorry.
No, you're good. One of the things that's going on is that Claire is going to sing in the talent show. This is my favorite Claire of – well, I don't know if it's my favorite because seeing Claire put a pair of handcuffs is definitely right up at the top. But this is really nice stuff, and it really gives her some depth here, the character of Claire. You know, you always hear or read some of those comments about Claire being snooty and all that stuff, or bratty, and that's what I love about her. But this is a moment where she gets to sort of show a vulnerable, more vulnerable, sweet side, where she's taking a chance singing. It doesn't go well first.
Shut the blinds.
Claire, I'm the only one who can hear you.
Know that I'm devoted to you. I'll never hurt you. I'll never lie. I'll never be.
She told me.
She's so brave. She's so brave to do that. It's tone deaf perfect.
She does do tone deaf perfect. Lindy says the turtleneck error. I do love Claire's turtleneck there. So that's great. But now, go ahead, Ryan.
Larry, I asked you this like a while ago when we did the discussion on Reddit. Who had the idea for the Linda Ronstadt version? Because I am a big Linda Ronstadt fan. I even actually have that album that Claire's
playing. Oh, my God.
I'm pretty sure it would have been me because I was kind of, I kind of was the musical guy, you know, as far as getting the ideas, then getting to Kenny Miller and those seasons. But I'm just trying to think, Devoted to You, is it written by Felix and the Bordelais, or who's it written by, Devoted to You?
So. I know, isn't the original like the Everly Brothers? They were like
that's what I'm saying. They had some a pair of songwriters, a husband and wife pair of songwriters, Felix and Brian Bordelais or something like that. That could be theirs. It's just a beautiful song, and it seemed to fit the bill. And probably is, I don't know if this episode has been banned on Paramount Plus, but I wouldn't be surprised because
that's funny. They actually do play the version, the Linda version on the DVDs. It's in there.
Okay, but what about and for anybody who, like Maggie, if you're watching, like someone who watches Pluto TV every day, when they get to this episode, do they air this or do they skip it? I'm just curious because it's one thing to be on the DVDs.
Oh my God, that'd be terrible if it was skipped. That would be just.
I mean, it's the most important fucking moment of the. Yeah, how can you have it without it? How can you have
also,
it?
We're building up, you know, Stephen and Claire's relationship because we're going to break them up very soon. We already know that. We know we're breaking them up.
Melissa Skillins, they skip it. They skip it. This piece of shit. Are you kidding me? They skipped that?
One of the best episodes of the series.
I can't even imagine it. They skipped the scene or they skipped the entire episode, Melissa. I'm sorry. I'm getting hot. Yeah. Well, you're gonna see it here, and it will be banned here very shortly. So here you go.
Endless time. I'll adore your charms. sublime. Guess by now you know that I'm devoted to you.
So good. She pulled it off. I remember when we had her on the show. When we had her on the podcast, she had talked about how she was surprised that she pulled that off.
Yeah. She was very game. I mean, this whole, this whole talent show is kind of fun because I am, you know, again, I guess we just kind of do a drag show, so to speak, to a Royal Canadian mounted love affair. And, you know, we have a little bit of fun here. We have some specialty acts. We have Jessica Klein's cousin, Julie Nathanson.
Oh, that's her name. I call her Julie Peterson. I missed that all. But this is what you're talking about with
Steve Sanders as his.
I'm going to leave it off, so we'll get to the big moments here. So I'm going to keep it very low in the background.
Now, Larry, you and Fred did the music for this, right?
And Phil Savath, of which I get about $15 a year in the world.
That's very nice. That's very nice that they do that for you. Smile, Laugh, yes, Sparkle says it's the episodes on Amazon. Denise Young says it's not on Paramount or Pluto. So, I mean, just get it together, guys. Yeah, fucking kidding. It doesn't even make sense. Some episodes it's there, some episodes it's not there.
And this is good. Tori is one. I mean, yeah. She's great here.
This is really some really great Tori stuff. You know, Tori is just a natural comedian and so entertaining. And this is like one example of her going totally outside the box of something and just making it great.
Oh, yeah. I think Pete said when we were watching season 8 together, Tori, she would have been fantastic on like an old school sitcom, like, you know, totally. The 70s sitcoms.
Yes. She should actually be in one. There should be a reboot of us, like, that kind of thing.
Very cute.
Where did you come up with the talent show concept? You know,
always looking for an incident to, you know, to fill up and to have something where the whole cast can be involved in. I'm just going toward the end of the school year and the end of their college experience. We just kind of were kind of play out the Keg Alpha thing one more time, and the talent show seemed like a good, you know, background for a lot of things to play out.
Was that a Ken Stringer or is this?
No, that was me. That was me.
Got it.
Probably Phil. Because Phil was a big, you know, both of us, you know, we had a theater together in the 70s. That was our, you know, that whole stuff was, you know, that was kind of our thing. We had done variety stuff. You know, I had done lots of that stuff. I had written for orangutans at that point.
That's very, very true. Yes. One other thing that happens here with Donna, you referenced this earlier. I don't know how long of a clip I have here, but. I mean, did you actually get the same actor?
That's not the same guy, is it?
What do you think, Brian? No?
I don't think it is. No, I'm pretty
Well, look at the brilliance of how you guys make it look as if it is the same actor.
Let's take a look here.
If it is, the poor guy went through a lot in those few years.
Oh, yeah.
He aged.
I think we tried to get close, and maybe the guy had like a, you know, herpes for a couple of years.
But this becomes a big thing. She's very upset, you know, Donna, because her dad just had a stroke, and now here's her mother sitting in the audience with the man that she had an affair with. Like, it feels very like suspicious. Go ahead, Brian.
I just want to say Felice has no remorse about that season 2 thing. If you watch earlier in the episode, she sees the guy's name and she's smiling, laughing about it. Like, oh, he's going to be there. Zero remorse.
Yeah.
You know, again, you know, unreliable narrator was a very important part of storytelling.
What about that, Larry? Pulling from something that you weren't even really a part of and utilizing.
But I was a part of it because I went to the characters and every bit of, you know, from their lives. I mean, so we always tried to make them as real as we could. And we knew the fans remembered, so we better fucking damn well remember. So we felt that pressure. And so, yeah, that was just a great way to get to fill out, again, to her character, make it more real and to use what we have. We have a father now in a wheelchair and Donna's there. We need to fill up some pages. Again, you know, you know, as Jill said, we're shooting a double up here, so we need other people working besides Brandon. And, you know, it becomes, doing a series is creative, but it's also, as I've said, manufacturing. You're manufacturing. You've got to put out a certain amount of pages every day and fill up those pages. So that's all part of the fun.
Here's a little bit more of Jill sharing some of her thoughts. What's it like you getting, you know, so you knew that you would be there for the year, right? And for the season. And, but you get so ingrained in the culture of Beverly Hills 90210. You're probably friends with Tori. You're hanging out.
Friends with Tori, yes.
You're hanging out. You're going places. You're doing things. You're at the anniversary parties. And I've seen pictures of you with a cake. I think there was like a 100 episode or something like that. 200 episode or something.
That's what it was.
So
it's hard, man. It's hard to have to say goodbye. And I remember getting the call about the Hawaii episode.
Yeah, next season.
Yeah, because, okay, I remember feeling at the end that there really was no closure for Tracy. You know, it was just like one fight with Brandon and boom, she's done. So I remember feeling that. And then when I got that call to go to Hawaii,
they brought her back, Larry, next year.
Oh my God. Yeah. For the season opener. And I was like ecstatic, and Tori was ecstatic because she didn't like flying. So she was happy to have me on the flight, and it was the best trip ever. So that was really fun. And I remember seeing the new cast brought in when we were in Hawaii and
having new people,
Yeah, there were new people. And I just remember feeling like, why couldn't they have kept me?
That's funny. Hey, you know, I was thinking about that. As I mentioned to you guys, if I brought her back and I was in the 8th, I would have brought her back as Ray's girlfriend.
Right. Ray's girlfriend.
Yeah. Just kind of like outsiders together, you know, making her into a heel. Let her do a heel turn.
Heel turn, yes. They didn't do that in season 8. Nope. She was like, she just wound up marrying somebody or.
She's engaged to, a guy. You know, she mentions the new people, and, you know, when you think about it, I mean, obviously Hillary Swank didn't work out, so who knows? Maybe if they kept Tracy, that would have done something.
Okay, but if we're going to be honest with each other here, if you were to keep, and I'm so sorry to be the person to say this, if you were going to bring anyone back, wouldn't it have been Susan? Wouldn't there have been more to play with Susan than Tracy?
Boy, it was never really even considered to bring either of them back. Never.
I think they were there for the seasons.
At least not at my level. Maybe I'm sure their agents or their managers must have been, you know, trying to lobby for it. But we never felt the storytelling needed for it. So
here's another Jill clip. Some heavy stuff too. So there's a moment with Jason where you call him a bastard. Remember that, Larry? We watched that. Yes, you bastard, right? So it wasn't just all emotional. There was like some anger too, which we don't really see out of Tracy. The range of emotions that you had to play in this.
I don't remember except for I think what Larry said is really true. It's like, it made it more realistic because that's kind of what happens, right? Things are good, and then all of a sudden something happens and it just goes downhill and you can't do anything to save it, you know?
But what I like is you did try to save it with Valerie. You went, you know, like you did what people do. Can you just talk to him? Like, you know, you're not willing to give up on this because you do believe there's love there. And there was, that's the thing that's so interesting. But Brandon's so torn. He's just only doing it. You know, it's like measuring, you know, what's best.
Yeah,
it's really cool. I thought that's what I liked best about it, that you didn't.
Jason had really nice things to say. I think we interviewed him about something else, and we ran into a scene with you, and he said that you were really wonderful in it. Remember that line recently? You saw that on the Instagram.
I saw it on. Yeah, must have been on Instagram. And that was really nice.
And for you, working with Jason, we've asked you that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I loved working with him. I remember saying this too, but like at the beginning, you know, it was really like weird because I had been watching the show. So it was really weird to be all of a sudden I was in it. And, you know, it's hard at that age to not have a crush on every single one of them, you know, like, So I just remember being just, I was really grateful. I was just really grateful. We had a really fun time working together.
Nice stuff from Jill Novick, who was Tracy. Some people are saying they like Tracy better than Susan. I'm seeing some comments like that. Sparkle said that. Something like
I've seen a lot of turnaround on Reddit. You know, people used to really not be too kind to Tracy, but I think as the years go on and people are watching it over and over again, people are starting to gain more appreciation for her.
Well, I mean, you definitely want someone that like will fight back, you know, for you, right? Yeah. I mean, where Susan Keats took the job and took off, and then she was out of here. Like Tracy fought. Tracy fought against Kelly to try to get Brandon's.
Yeah. I love the towards the end, she has that. She pulls a Valerie, you know, she tries to seduce him. You know, she does the whole massaging thing.
Let's talk about that. Yeah, let's talk about that, Larry. There's a scene, I didn't pull this clip, but they're in the newsroom together, and it feels like she's trying to like get one more go out of him.
You got to do what you got to do. I mean, you know, again, your love is you're not gonna, she didn't want to give up on it. That's what was kind of cool about it. Kind of everyone's kind of is going full flight here. I like it. And then, you know, the Steve and Claire stuff is really tender. It's really
I wanted to show that actually, because we talked about the song element of it, but the actual moment of what makes it so good, it's yes, Claire singing on stage, but it is really this moment where she opens up kind of, I feel, I know she's opening up to Steve, but she opens up to the 90210 universe too.
But you didn't. I'm so proud of you for that.
Well, I couldn't back out again.
Again?
I was supposed to sing that song in a fourth grade talent show. I practiced and practiced. It was supposed to be a big surprise for my mom.
So what happened?
I remember waiting in the wings and looking through the curtains, waiting for her to come, but she never did.
And you wouldn't go on unless she was there, right?
She died 2 years later.
So you never got a chance to sing it for her, huh?
Not until tonight.
Really, really good stuff.
I like it. I don't know if this was intentional, but again, there's another connection there, because, you know, you have the whole aspect of, you know, she says that it's a song that her mother used to sing to her, and, you know, it's really based around her mother. And there's also the connection that, you know, the song, the Linda Ronstadt version, it's sung as a lullaby. It comes off an album that, you know, it's all covers of songs sung as lullabies. It's popular songs sung as lullabies. So wow. There's even more of a connection there.
Did you know that, Larry?
I didn't realize that. Oh, we still haven't figured out who wrote the song, huh? No, let's check that out.
No, maybe let me pull out the liner notes.
I'm going to do it right now. Anyway, yeah,
she's just beautiful.
I love the way that is. Also, it gave a chance to see a softer side of Claire, which
yes,
she very rarely did.
Yeah, you were right, Larry. It is Bodlo and Brian.
Oh, it is Bodlo and Brian. Yeah, yeah. They you know, they wrote all the great stuff. They, Jesus, they wrote Love Hurts.
But you're right about this. It is really nice to see that side of her. She's a beautiful actress. And I mean, you really, really get to, and beautiful as well, but you really get to see her coming out of something here. You know, it's not about arguing with Steve or it's her own story. It's something that happened to her character, and it's really well written, and it's really well executed as well.
You know,
it's a moment.
I have to confess one thing. When I was listening to it just then, and when she says, "Oh, my mother never showed," I was already thinking, "Why didn't the mother show? She was having an affair." Right. Is there something we could bring back? You know,
Oh, you're right. You're always kind of writing 90210.
The gaps are. Where's the openings?
But the brilliance of this episode, I guess, and we're talking about these things that happened, but it really is the ending, the brilliance of the ending, because they go through this whole plot, an imaginary, which is so brilliant that it's an imaginary Brandon and Dylan triangle, because Dylan is not even active in this triangle, but he's
where Kelly is not truthful to Brandon.
Right. So
she went to see Dylan, and that's why she was going to be late.
The brilliance of Larry Mullen's 90210 triangles is the other person doesn't even have to be there. Doesn't have to appear on screen. No, right. But anyway, they get into this whole thing and Brandon confronts her. I don't know that I pulled the full clip, but I pulled a portion of it.
Wait a minute. How do you know about Dylan? Well, were you following me?
It doesn't matter how I know. The issue is you and Dylan.
No, no. The issue is trust. What kind of relationship did you intend to build on spying?
None. Not with a woman who's in love with another man.
You think I'm still in love with Dylan?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
I'm not in love with Dylan.
Really? Then why did you go to meet him? Alone, secretly. All dressed up.
I dressed up for you. I didn't think I was going to have time to go home and change before our date. I went to meet him because he's a friend. And he asked me to. And for one other reason.
What's that?
I wanted to tell him that I'd finally chosen.
That's our ring. How'd you get it?
I couldn't bear anyone else having it.
Oh my God. Such.
I don't know. I got to call Bull. I mean, why not tell what? Donna or anybody else that she's going to go to the airport? I don't know.
Oh, well, again, she's skillful. Again, there's a gray area there. No, no, she basically did not want him to know. She's trying to, you know, paddle upstream here, and she almost gets away with it because she got the ring thing, which is over.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like she just pulled that out. She was like, oh, you know what? I got the ring. Let me use this. And just see my
ass. Exactly. But I mean, still to get that, you know, we set that up a couple of episodes ago because that was in heaven. That was in. I don't even know what episode, but it was the one where Mariah comes. Hey, no, it's
Heaven Sent.
Yeah, that's the one with Mariah.
It is Heaven Sent.
Molly Campbell says she's always watching. Hello, Molly. It's always good to see you. You got to come back here on the podcast. We miss you tremendously. So come back on.
Molly did fantastic costumes for the talent show. Oh my God!
Yeah, we should have had her come on and talk about.
Yeah,
that's
great stuff there. Thank you,
sweetie. Oh, smile.
Yeah, I think the ring thing. You know, we finally paid that back off. You know, we had the double switch where Brandon tries to get rid of the ring, then he returns the ring, and you know, it was great stuff. It was just
really smile, cool. Laugh, sparkle. Getting a lot of comments in this today. Says she's still in love with Dylan. I think she's talking about Kelly.
Well, yeah, you want to keep that thing alive somewhat. I mean, you got to have another season or two. At this point, you know, I still think I'm coming back.
Jessica says, I think Susan was a better fit for Brandon, but in the years that have passed, Tracy appears more and more sympathetic to me. I feel her pain. Tracy's pain in this episode is the most I felt for a character that wasn't a main cast member in the show's 10 seasons. Wow.
Pretty good.
That's a very strong statement. I agree with it to a degree.
I do as well. I think, like she said, I think Tracy was the only character that was really marriage material of the ones that we'd seen.
Yeah, she would have been in the old school way of a marriage. Yeah, I think so. But
yeah.
But she also could have had a career as an anchor woman. She was very good at that. And, you know, she's could easily have, you know, become a communications major and, you know, done her stuff, you know, become the weather girl.
Jessica says, I love Pete's eternal crush on Claire. Adorable. I'm devoted to her, right? Isn't that the song? You like that? Cindy says, Brian, love your passion for music. I can relate. Oh, I love that you pulled out the liner notes. okay. Oh, here's somebody's. This is our friend Caitlin. Oh, fuck off, Kelly. It hasn't even been 2 years since Dylan lost Tony. You'd think he'd give a fuck about you. Wow. Okay, oh God, listen to this. That. Kelly is such a liar.
Please indulge us, please.
LMLAO. She cheated on Brandon with Dylan before. Why wouldn't she again? Point, counterpoint.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know.
Oh, my God.
All right. These are flawed Beverly Hills children. You know,
also,
children of divorce. You know, they're not whole people. They don't make good choices all the time.
Also, this was a television show. These are
I do feel like a lot of the fans look tired of that. Yeah.
You know, just all right. Brian, you gave me some things to read from Reddit. Let's see what
these are from the discussion we did like 10 months ago.
I don't know what that means, but here's the first of the statements.
Well, this is from a now deleted user, but they said, why would Dylan send a telegram like in the
wait, hold up. I want to know why the person deleted their profile on Reddit. What happened? There must have been some serious shit that went down with this person somewhere with 90210. Did you ban? Is this a ban?
It could quite possibly could have been. You never know. But anyways, I love the scene between Brandon and Kelly. They are not forced. This episode closed the ring arc, like Larry said.
Yes.
Well written and bonded with the past. Really a great job. The kiss was and is beautiful, and she went back again to get him back. You don't have to believe those who come to check if you're still there for them, but believe those who come to pick you up. I love the two of them together.
Oh. Nice. Okay, yeah, do we have any thoughts about that?
Well, we believe that.
We're going to delete them again. We're deleting the user profile. We're not responding to it. Let's see what's next.
All right. Rachel Bixby says, I enjoyed this episode. I love Val meddling and Brandon and Tracy's relationship to prevent Brandon and Kelly from reuniting. I like that they have flashbacks back to season two, Things to Do on a Rainy Day, one of my favorite episodes. A moment of continuity. Felice was a piece of work, but she was one of the most consistent characters in the series, despite the many changes in writers.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing, too, I wanted to just add about Felice, I always felt about 90210 that with that character and with that choice of the affair, that the show tried to distance themselves from that moment in season two because, you know, Felice inevitably presents herself as this, like, conservative woman, right? And she would never have had an affair, supposedly. But I love that you went back and brought it back and, you know, went back there.
We also get at her in the Rose Queen stuff. She also,
that's right.
Didn't she have a?
Yes.
She got pregnant.
She did. Some shit went down.
Rose Queen, you know.
Yes. No. Right. That's so, true.
You know, God bless Catherine Cannon. She did a great job again, serving the show, playing, you know, our version of a parent heel, and you know, she was always good for that. I mean, she was a racist. She was anything to protect her daughter. She was going to do it.
Right, literally. I mean, so I talked to her recently because I was watching an episode of Columbo, and Catherine did an episode of Columbo. Oh, nice. And she just gave me all the inside scoop on that, and I just appreciate that so much, Catherine. We got to have Catherine back on. I don't know what for, but we need more Catherine Cannon. All right, here's the last of the Reddits.
Okay, I posted this. I said, "Be for real, Brandon. You would be at the airport with bells on if you know who sent you a telegram."
Well, yeah, there was,
and it's really cool. I mean, because there really were still telegrams then, and it was a good way you could really mask one if you had someone else send it. I mean, that was kind of, you could do that fake telegram.
But Larry, not only that though, there it was a good play to play into. Going to see someone from an airport. Valerie is so sinister, knowing that at one point Brandon did do this to go see Emily, right? And she's you doing that with Dylan. So also a very nice callback. Good stuff. Yeah, I think this episode really, really holds up. Brian, what did you think?
Like I said, it's one of my favorite episodes of the series. I love it. There's so much. You know, you have the Claire singing, the telegram, which is, it's devious, but it's hilarious. I love Valerie. I love her scheming. And yeah, the callback to Felice's affair, which, like you said, yeah, you know, it's a big thing. And then it's just never, they kind of drop it up until pretty much now when they, you know, reference it again.
Right. Right. Go ahead, Larry.
Well, we wanted to have we didn't want just Tori just to have a goofy storyline here. We had to kind of expand her part of it. Because again, every episode, you want your stars to have, you know, good meaty stuff in every show. I mean, you try to balance it out. I mean, she wasn't leading the show. She didn't have the big storylines here, but you need her. You need her to be showing up.
And so thinking about you did a great job. Yeah, everybody, like I said, everybody has like a good, nice, sizable. Well,
David doesn't have anything here.
Well, he does.
Yeah, David has. Well,
when they confront.
Oh, that's true.
He has that little good scene.
No, that's he's very good.
Actually, he has a good kiss with Donna too. David and Donna have a good kiss in this episode.
Also, David is really like sort of the peacemaker in that moment when Donna starts exploding on the man that may or may not be the same actor. He's very calm and level-headed and trying to get her to like have a conversation. And because, let's in fairness, they're talking about the reason why those two characters are talking is not for an affair. It's because he's in charge of some medical stuff, and
and she wants him to treat the father. Yeah, exactly.
How awkward is that? You know, a guy that you were sleeping with, and now you're going to cure the husband of the woman that you were having an affair with? That's got to be awkward.
You know, I'm going to say two words. Beverly Hills.
Exactly. I was just going to say, Beverly Hills.
Part of the culture. It's a small town. You know, you just got to kind of understand that. And you, especially if you're going, well, she probably went to Beverly Hills High School. This guy went to Beverly Hills High School. You know, yes. I'm with Chuck, and he kind of sees people. He goes, oh, yeah, he went to Beverly Hills. You know, he where everyone who went to high school with is still here.
I miss Chuck this week. We need a big episode next week.
He would have shared in my love for Linda Ronstadt if he was here.
Oh, between Tracy's pain, Claire's performance.
I have to tell you one, I actually stayed over once at her house at Malibu and helped her sandbag the beach from a big storm. It was in 1978. Oh,
wow. Linda Ronstadt, you mean?
I was dating a friend of mine who's a musician, Adam Mitchell, and I was visiting LA for the first time to see if I was going to move there, and we all of a sudden ended up in the Malibu colony, and they said they needed help. I said, yeah, I'll stay, and they said, well, you can stay over. And we had a great dinner together, and she couldn't have been more lovely. And I don't know if Adam Howie blew that relationship, but it didn't end up too well.
Jessica says, between Tracy's pain, Claire's performance, and Brandon and Kelly and the ring ending, this is one of the best episodes in the series. I actually agree with that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Thanks, Jessica. It's always nice to hear the much maligned season 7.
Lisa says, I love that Pete watches Columbo. Hello, Lisa. I hope you're having a wonderful week off. All right. Anything else that we need to say about this episode, guys? Did we cover it all?
I think we covered it.
All right. Well, we'll be back next week with more fun and more 90210 show. Thank you all for joining us this week.
Bye-bye, guys. Have fun. Be well. Bye-bye, Brian's Pete.